107 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Get your calls this hour, 343-0106, 343-0106. Lots to talk about with some people are saying this is not a new angle, and quite possibly so, but I think a lot of people were surprised when they heard the tolling would apply also to the Wallace Tunnel, not just to the bridge. We'll get into that. Although this is a perfect segue, because if they do run the toll both ways and it's as high as $6, I may never get to see my friend Phil Savage in person, because he'll never come over here to Mobile County. It's Phil Savage, of course, the general manager of the Arizona Hotshots from the American Alliance of Football. Also, of course, analyst extraordinaire, all things football, from Pop Warner to pro, host of Football Philosophy, the podcast, and, of course, the author of Fourth and Go Every Day, and my buddy, Phil Savage. Hey, man.
Sean, hope you're well. I'm late to the party on the toll story here. So I'm coming from I-10, if I'm driving back from Phoenix, Arizona, it's going to cost me a bundle to get back home, huh?
Yeah, well, and they said, well, you can still take, when this, they said 2025 when this is on, we can still take the causeway, Bankhead Tunnel and the causeway, or take the Cochrane Bridge and then the causeway, but it's not going to be just the bridge that's tolled. They're also, you can't avoid the toll by going Wallace Tunnel. It's going to be a toll on both. So yeah, I think has a lot of people talking this morning, and it may cost you extra dollars here to get home from I-10, you know, eastbound. So you save up, man.
Wow. Okay. Well, hey, we've got some time to get organized and get our piggy bank going between
right
now and 2025. But the crazy thing is, it will be here before we know it.
Yep, and that's why you start putting money back for those tolls early and often. And I am excited, glad you could come on today to talk about some hot shots here as we continue. We were telling people last week, they're like, this is crazy. Football season ended, and there's still football on. I said, yeah, we've been talking about that for months. Explain to folks that are brand new to saying, hey, why is there still football on? What's going on?
Yeah, the Alliance of American Football made its debut last weekend with four games, eight teams, really scattered across the Sun Belt portion of the United States, from San Diego to Orlando and everywhere in between. And from what we can tell, it was extremely well received on Saturday night. The Alliance games that were on CBS outdrew NBA basketball on ABC.
Wow.
So that was quite a feather in the cap of the AAF. And I think that a couple things happen. I think, number one, there is such a desire for people to watch football, and the way it was presented and came across television really grabbed the attention of people. I mean, if you were walking through an airport, or you just happened to glance over as you were walking through your own living room or den, and you saw the television on and there was football there, if you just casually looked over, you would say, wow, what is that, the NFL or is that major college? Because the presentation was excellent. They had, you know, professional announcers, they had really good graphics, and if you truly sat down and watched the games, they had a level of transparency that we've never seen before. As an example, the replay official, they had them mic'd so that you could hear and see what a replay official goes through in terms of their determination of whether a play should stand or would be overturned. And that was something that I think really interested people. I mean, I know when that happened Saturday night in the Orlando-Atlanta game, I mean, my phone blew up. I got about 10 or 12 text messages right away saying, man, this is really cool how they've lifted the curtain and given us a chance to see how that actually works.
Well, the bad thing about it, though, it makes it harder for me to demagogue the replay official and say mean things about him when I see him actually go through the process. It does ruin all that fun for me.
Well, you know, we've introduced a couple of new concepts. We've got Sky Judge, which is a camera that hovers and stays over the 22 players from a truly vertical position. In other words, it's straight down, and they're using that camera to make sure that everybody is legal, and if there's a missed call, they can actually buzz down to the referee and say, the sky judge from on high actually picked up a violation here, there should be a flag. And, you know, I think that the transparency of being able to see what the replay official is saying and doing, I think those are all things that the NFL and perhaps Major College Football will take a look at in the future. So those are a couple little innovations that were introduced in the Alliance that seemed to create some buzz this week. And, of course, there are no kickoffs in this league, which is something that has been trending, you know, towards happening over the last number of years. We've seen the modification of the kickoff at both the college level and the NFL level, and the Alliance just said, hey, we're going to do away with it completely. There were no extra points, all two-point play, so some of the scores can get, you know, have some different numbers to them. I know we went 4-for-4 on two-point conversions, and, you know, that's a season's worth of 2 points, right? So we have a whole section in our playbook devoted to two-point play. So there's some definite differences between, you know, the Alliance and the NFL and college, but at the same time, I think if people turned it on, they were impressed by the quality of play, and that's really what will ultimately sustain the Alliance.
Well, that's what I was thinking too. Is your excitement through the year before this even got started? Not just obviously, you're a homer. You're the general manager of the Hotshots. I get that, but I know you are a fan of just the game of football. I mean, you'll stop and watch kids play football, and your excitement about this was infectious because you were really excited about not just the Hotshots, and I get that. I mean, that's what your job, but the whole league.
Yeah, you know, I think the other thing too, Sean, where you know, the fans that took the time to watch the games, first of all, they last 2.5 hours. So you don't have to devote an entire day or an entire night to either watching a football game on television or trying to attend one. And, you know, your whole 24-hour day is shot in a normal circumstance. In this case, the games last 2.5 hours. But the other thing that I think really resonated with people is the fact that every player virtually in this league, every coach, I can speak for myself, every general manager has been fired, cut, released, traded, told you weren't good enough. And these guys are making $70,000. And I think for the average casual football fan, there's a connection there in terms of going through the school of hard knocks, so to speak. In other words, you're not watching players that are pulling $20 million. Or, you know, there's such a separation now, with the exception of training camp. It's really hard to connect with an NFL player because their lifestyle is completely different than 99% of the public. In this case, the guys that you're seeing and the guys that are playing truly love the game, and they're just looking for another shot. They're trying to improve their stock, improve a facet of their game to get another opportunity in the NFL. And they're not getting rich doing it. And I think that really connected with fans. And the other thing that I would say, too, is I do think, and as we've talked about over really the last couple years on Football Fridays, there is a bit of pushback and some anti-sentiment towards the NFL.
Sure.
And this is another way for people to have an avenue to watch football and not feel like that it's the NFL. And, I mean, I hate to say it, I'm an NFL lifer, essentially. But I do think that that's some reality out there.
Yeah, one of the things I was wondering, because I was watching the Birmingham team that talk about whatever, you know, there's brand new season, brand new league, and so they're setting traditions now, you know, the forging or whatever they're doing in Birmingham. What do y'all have for the Hotshots? Do y'all have like a kind of a dance where you put out a fire or something like that? How's that work?
Yeah, in Birmingham, their hashtag is Forge On.
Right, yeah.
For the Hot Shots, it's Go Shot. But there is a song out there. Now, Sean, you can't play it on your show.
Oh, no.
Except for about a 40-second clip in this song called Shots. And anytime we score, it's Shots for everybody.
Man, I may have to come to one of y'all's games.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. And, I mean, the fans that were at our game at Sun Devil Stadium, they got into it. Our players have enjoyed it all the way through. Our head coach, Rick Neuheisel, his first meeting with our team, he opened the meeting with this particular song. So it's been fun. But you know, the cool thing about the Arizona Hotshots is that, you know, the team name and the uniforms and the colors all are a tribute to the forest firefighters, the elite forest firefighters that are scattered across the western United States. So, you know, we're wearing the forest green pants and yellow jerseys and yellow helmets in recognition of those guys and girls that serve, you know, so eloquently out in this part of the country. And as a matter of fact, you know, they're going to retire the jersey number 19 in deference to the 19 firefighters who lost their lives on Yarnell Hill, the Yarnell Hill fire that inspired a movie. A lot of people think that the Hotshots are just those particular people, but actually it's a tribute to all of the Hotshots that are out there.
I learned a little more about that, the story behind the story. And if people want to check out the next game for the Hotshots, who y'all play and where can we check it out?
Sean, we're going to be in Memphis tomorrow night. We're flying out later today, and we play the Memphis Express Saturday night at the Liberty Bowl. It'll be 7 o'clock your time, NFL Network, and hopefully we'll get a chance to – we will have the chance to go 2-0. We got off to a good start last Sunday night. We beat the Salt Lake team 38-22, but – I got to tell you a quick story. So John Walford is our quarterback, and he's from Wake Forest. And, you know, this past week, Kyler Murray, the quarterback for Oklahoma, declared that, hey, I'm going into the NFL draft. I'm going to choose football over baseball for the time being. And he's 5'9". And people have indicated to him that he's going to be a first-round draft pick. Well, obviously this would not have happened 10 years ago, certainly not 20 or 30 years ago, because everybody has always looked for the prototypical classic 6'3", 6'4" quarterback. And so 18 months ago, I'm at Wake Forest looking at their players for the Senior Bowl. I was there specifically to see a defensive lineman, but they had this quarterback that was 5'11 or 6 feet tall. And I'm like, he's a really good player, but, you know, he's not really what the NFL is looking for. So we passed on him. He ended up not being drafted. He goes to the Jets for 4 days last summer. 4 days is what he got in Jets camp. Well, when we were putting our roster and our plans together this fall, getting ready for the Hotshots, we had decided we were going to run a college-oriented RPO system where the quarterback would have to have some wheels, but he'd have to be a quick thinker and get the ball out of his hand. Well, John Walford from Wake was one of our candidates. We drafted John. He won the job during training camp, and here it is 18 months later where I passed on him for the Senior Bowl. Now I'm hugging him with both arms because he was the Alliance Player of the Week. He threw for 275, 4 touchdown passes. And, Sean, my point is that all of us who have been in the NFL for years and evaluated talent, we're all having to come to the realization that there is a place for the short quarterback or the shorter quarterback. You just have to be willing to wrap an offense around these guys because, look, they're just simply not the classic drop-back passers out there anymore. They're all athletic. They're all running around. And John Walford has proven that he can play. And I think he'll be one of our guys that, quote, graduates from the Alliance to the NFL once our season ends.
You know, I'm looking always for future trends out there, Phil. So if these kind of quarterbacks are getting traction in the Alliance, then maybe shorter interior linemen so they can see over them. That will be a good thing. Some linemen that are under 6 so the quarterback can see over the top of their helmets.
Well, you know, the truth of it is that the left tackle position was always super highly valued in the NFL, and it still is to a degree. But there is now more emphasis on the guards and the centers, and people are not as scared to take them high in the draft because people have figured out that if you want to affect Tom Brady or Drew Brees or these other, you know, tremendous NFL passers, if you race the edge, yeah, you can get there, but the idea is they can step up and avoid that pressure. Where they can't step up and avoid pressure is when it's in their face. And so guards and centers, even though, and they are shorter typically than tackles. I'm not saying that they'll ever have 5'11" or 6-foot guards or centers. But my point is that the game has evolved a tremendous amount over the last 10, 12, 15 years. It really has. The advent of the spread when Hal Mumme went to Kentucky and Mike Leach ended up going to Texas Tech from Oklahoma, and then all the guys that have spun off of their tree across the country. Now we even have Cliff Kingsbury, who was fired at Texas Tech. He's getting a chance to go coach an NFL team right here in the Valley. He's the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, and I don't know that he's been in a defensive meeting in his life, and yet he's the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. So it has really trended from one extreme to the other.
Wow. Oh, we're going to be watching the game in Memphis, and then I'll remind folks, if they have yet to pick up a copy of Fourth and Goal Every Day, where do they get a copy?
Yeah, Sean, it's obviously still out there. Amazon.com would be the easiest way to do it. Fourth and Goal Every Day, Alabama's Relentless Pursuit of Perfection. You can also go to any of the local bookstores in Mobile, major outlets, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million would have it. But Page and Pallet, my good friends there in downtown Fairhope, they still have copies of Fourth and Goal Every Day as well.
All right, and as soon as we get you on the backside of this football season with the Alliance, we'll have to have another lunch, and you come out and hang out with us, and maybe we'll get some copies signed there.
Yeah, we can absolutely do it, and, you know, I know that we've been texting back and forth. You know, if you want, maybe we have a little once-a-month foray here with the Alliance of American Football. Hopefully next time we talk to Hot Shots, we'll still be winning.
I like it. I like it a lot. We'll be watching. And, Phil, thank you for your time. Best of luck in Memphis for the Hot Shots, and keep us in the loop.
Okay, I will, Sean. And tell Dalton congratulations. I know he's very happy. And we'll catch up here in a few weeks.
We'll do it. Phil Savage, check it in on this Friday. Yeah, man, Hot Shots. Got a reason to be cheering for a team out of Arizona, which I dig. So we're pretty proud of that. Coming right back, taking phone calls and talking tolls. I-10 Mobile River Bridge project would include a toll on the Wallace Tunnel as well. A28 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Kane, you said El Camino Drive. Wouldn't it be cool if it was like El Camino Drive Court or Circle Boulevard or something like, you know, because like the El Camino, part car, part pickup truck. Yeah, the would be kind of a drive court drive, something like that, a combo deal. All right, phone number 343-0106. Big thanks to Phil Savage for joining us. And also, we're talking tolls this hour. Let's tell you what. Let's run a quick story here from our news partners at WKRG, a story that was done by Dana Winter at WKRG over at WKRG.com. You can check it out with a little intro from my friend and mentor, Mel Showers.
Live update. Tolls are coming to the Wallace Tunnel. The Mobile River Bridge and Bayway project is studying a $3 to $6 cost to get from one end of the bayway to the other. News 5's Dana Winter joins us live along the route. And Dana, what can you tell us?
Well, Mel, you can see here the Wallace Tunnel behind us, and this is actually where the tolling will begin. Here to the end of the bayway, you will have to pay to get through. The Mobile River Bridge and Bayway Project says besides the tunnel, the tolls will also be spaced out along the bayway as well as the new bridge they'll be building. So if you exit at midway, you will not pay the full tolls. You can see the cars are up to speed, moving like normal, and that's one thing that will not change as the tolls go in. The tolls will be electronic. Drivers can choose to either pay by plate or through an electronic transponder like a SunPass. They are working with nearby states to try to get that transponder to work as you go from Florida to Alabama as well. There is some good news, though, for all of you drivers out there. The tolls will not actually start being collected until 2025.
Well, there we go. So we got time to, as Killer B says, save up. Okay, coming to the phones, 343-0106. And I did check. I mean, thank you for those that have texted me with information. I've dug some up myself. There is precedent set for currently existing interstates having tolls put on them. There's not many of them. And we'll get into kind of your opinions when we return. News is next. All right, thank you, Kane. 836 FM Talk 106.5. Speaking of ways to help out the Sean Tudor Memorial Fund, go to our website, go to our Facebook page, and go to ateamfishing.com. That's Captain Bobby Abrascato's page. That raffle now through, mid-March, when we do the drawing there for a full-day fishing trip for you and two friends with Captain Bobby. Custom-made rod, full tackle box, and tons of gear. Go to our website. You'll see a link through there. It takes you to the mobilepd.org page. Make your donation, and this as per Captain Bobby, of any amount, although I would urge you to donate a lot, but you donate any amount and the return receipt from that donation becomes your ticket in our raffle. So you keep that handy either on your email or print out a copy. And then in March, we'll do the drawing and one of y'all is going to win that full day fishing trip with Captain Bobby and all the extras. So good luck in that. Check it out on our website, Facebook page, or if you need any more information, just shoot us an email or a text here and we'll get you the link. All right. It's a good deal. And we'll grab some phone calls. 343-0106. I want to check in with Mitch McConnell at McConnell Automotive, and I want to talk about the AT4 because I heard you had me fired up, and then I saw this truck at the boat show, and Mitch, I'm in.
Yeah, Sean, it is a cool-looking truck, isn't it?
Yeah, I love the off-road accents on it.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that people need to check out is don't make a purchase of any other truck is what I would try to recommend until you look at the AT4, especially, Sean, if people like something like the Ford Raptor. You know, and the Chevrolet is a great-looking truck, but it doesn't have that six-function tailgate. So, Sean, if people go to my website, McConnellAutomotive.com, they're going to see the truck. And the AT4 has got the red tow hooks, the 3-inch lift kit straight from the manufacturer, and it is the baddest-looking truck on the road. And I want everybody to come and see it at the dealership, too, at Dolphin Street, anytime they're ready.
All right. Well, if they want to get by and check it out, that's great. They can also check it out online, all your inventory online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
That's it, man. The website is the easiest thing in the world with 2 C's, 2 N's, 2 L's, and, you know, nobody beats our prices, Sean. So the bottom line is we make everything easy, and the new AT4 Sierra, I think, is something everybody needs to check out, man.
Agreed, man. Thanks. We'll check back soon.
Y'all have a great weekend.
Will do. Mitch McConnell checking in from McConnell Automotive, just east of I-65 on Dolphin Street. All right, we'll grab some calls here, and hopefully we're trying to get more information on this toll question here. And I have looked around, and y'all have helped me with some stories here. I got early this morning I-66, but then somebody said I-65 is tolled as well in section. In other words, taking a section of the interstate that already exists and then putting a toll in, because that's what it looks like to me, is part of this plan for the Mobile River Bridge project. Now, the danger is, I'll take blame here, but I guess I assumed, here we fill in, you know what assuming does, it makes a, okay, I assumed that the toll would be specific to the bridge, right? The people have been talking about the toll for a long time. That's not a new piece of information. But I guess I made the assumption that that toll would be like, okay, you could either choose to not pay and go through the Wallace Tunnel and deal with all that headache, or you could take the bridge and pay the toll and, you know, incentivize people using the bridge so they could stay out of the traffic going through the tunnel. Well, from the story we just played from our news partners at WKRG, the toll will apply to all portions of I-10. Now, you still would be able to get off and go through the Bankhead and get on the causeway or come through on the Cochran Bridge and go through the causeway. But if you're on I-10, either the tunnel or the bridge, then you will be paying a toll. All right, let's go to David in Mobile first. Hey, David.
Sean, if you remember correctly, several months ago, I made the observation that if you were fixing to put out $2 billion of your own private money for this project, you would not want a free option right there next to it, correct?
I would imagine, but the time that private companies can dictate on federal infrastructure and use it as a mechanism to, you know, repay the money that they leveraged, that's not exactly common in our experience.
I understand that, but, you know, there has been a lot of talk about closing down the Bankhead Tunnel to vehicular traffic, which would make the free option just basically the Cochran Bridge and the Causeway, which would be very inconvenient and cause a lot of people just to pay the toll. And that's what they're trying to move towards, is trying to close down the Bankhead Tunnel and just have the Cochran Bridge and the Causeway free, making it inconvenient so that the people that, you know, more people will use that bayway and the tunnels, so the company makes more money.
Sure. I get that. I mean, that's kind of simplistic. I'm just saying, is there precedent set? Just because there's all kind of things I want, man, but doesn't mean they're going to happen.
Well, let's just put it this way. I understand that there has to be a toll on the new bridge because of the private money. I've come to accept the fact that there has to be a toll on the Wallace Tunnel because the bridge is going to improve traffic flow in the Wallace Tunnel. But if they're also going to close down the Bankhead Tunnel to vehicular traffic, I'm 100% opposed to that, to the point that if they want to do that, let's not even do the project at all.
All right. There's David. What do you think? Let's go next to... Let's check in with Thomas in Irvington. Hey, man.
Hey, bud. How you doing this morning?
Doing good.
Good, good. My thing is, we got traffic jams enough going into the Wallace Tunnel. What kind of mess is this going to cause everybody trying to stop and pay a toll going across the bridge?
I don't think, from what I've read so far, and I'm just recounting what they're saying, is it's going to be one of those pay-by-plate things like they're doing down in Florida. You could either have Florida has a Sun Pass, or if you don't have one, like I just experienced when we rode down there, there's no place to pay. They just take a picture of your license plate and send you a bill.
Okay. Yeah, they're trying to get every bit of money out as they can anyway, no matter what.
Yeah, well, nobody told me for sure, so it's my fault for making the assumption, but I thought, you know, you would have a situation where, okay, here's the new thing. The bridge is the new thing, and so if you want to use that, it makes your commute faster, you pay for it. That kind of incentive makes sense to me, that you want to do a little, you know, get there faster, whatever, it's worth the money. But in the situation you take a road we're already using, make no change to that actual roadway, except like David said, maybe alleviating traffic on it, but then charge me to use that. It's not brand new, because people are sending me stories where this has happened to other places in the country, but it's new to me, that's for sure.
Right. And how are they going to work it? I mean, you know, we're in the talking stages of it now. How are they going to work it for locals that go across there every single day? You know, are we going to get just pay one price a month, whether you use it 100 times or one time?
I have no answer for you, Thomas. I'm sorry, I don't. I'm trying to get that.
I know we're all in the talking stage. Hey, I appreciate it. Listen to your show all the time. Rarely call in, but was coming back from Biloxi this morning and decided to put my 2 cents in.
Well, man, I love it. And don't be a stranger. Call back soon. We appreciate it. Lee's line open at 343-0106, 343-0106. Let's see here. Let's go to Dan in Mobile next. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Sean. Just a real quick comment, and I think I might be of like mind with you on this, and I don't know if anyone has touched on the issue yet, but I guess growing up and seeing some of the things I've seen, I've sort of developed an inherent distrust of the government, even at any level. We get this toll put into the tunnel. Who's to say it comes off?
Oh yeah, I don't know that. I tell you the funny story. I don't know if you paid attention when it went over in New Orleans some years ago. They had put a toll on the new bridge there, the main bridge you take from, like, when you pass the Superdome and you go into going to the West Bank, and
yeah,
they put a toll authority up to pay for the bridge. Okay, so they pay for the bridge, and then it went on some matter of years that they were still collecting the toll. The bridge had been paid off. It wasn't until like one city council person or somebody went in and said, hey, didn't we make the last payment on this? And then they went, oh, yeah, we'll get rid of that now. So those toll booths sit there without the, you know, I mean, you could go right through them. They're still sitting there. But I don't know. I mean, I would hope if we keep an eye on it, doing our job in the media, that we would say, hey, they've now paid it off. You know, the private, and I do like the private contractor angle, because they will get it done more quickly because they have an incentive. They got to borrow all this money to build the bridge, you know, to get paid back. So they're going to try to get it done as quickly as possible because they're paying interest. That part's fine. And I don't mind people getting paid back for building the bridge, but being able to put that toll also on the current roadway, And maybe somebody's going to change my mind, but right now that bothers me.
Well, and I understand that there are people saying there's been a precedent set and things of that nature. I'd like to think that maybe if it could, well, I don't know if it needs to go as far as taking it to court, but you know, with it being at the tunnel, that's got to be some sort of unique, something unique to things that have happened in the past. But how is the toll being levied? Is the city doing the toll and then reimbursing the private company? How is that working?
Okay, from what I've read, because I you know, I cage everything here because things seem to have changed, but the way I've read in the past, that the private entity, this group that'll be formed, they will be, I'm sure with government oversight, but they will be doing the tolling, right, to get repaid X amount of dollars.
I don't trust that. Well, I don't trust
them. Dan, it's tough, though. You don't trust a private company. Don't trust the government. Man, who can you trust?
I know, but it's rough. I agree with you from the angle that the private company come in and actually they'll definitely do a more efficient job because they have an incentive to actually turn a profit. So
yeah.
I do like that angle of it. And I also like the angle of if they're going to, you know, capture the license plates and send you a bill, that'll definitely be better because that'll be more efficient, maybe, you know.
Yeah,
not impede the flow of traffic, but man,
$3 to $6. They're saying, and Dan, they're saying it could be between $3 and $6. That could, like Killer B says, we got to save up, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're coming right back to the phones. 343-0106. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here. A couple things on the to-do list. Number one, downtown parade and season starts tonight. Condi's rolling 6:30, Parade Route A. This is just the word on the street. I don't know. May have just heard the rumor, then had a little bit of confirmation that at some point, I think it's float number 7, you're supposed to yell Fabio. Which is maybe I'll just take to doing that the entire Mardi Gras. You'll just hear me. I'll be there with my embarrassed children yelling Fabio at every float that comes by. A lot of text here, and I'm trying to read through all these, and I'll try to get through probably after the show because they are detailed text about tolls. And this one from Matthew says, I-90 and other interstates in the Chicago area have a toll on existing interstates to, quote, improve them, end quote. You pay a toll every couple of miles, 2 or 3. Miami area has the same setup. Oh, Matthew, do I know? Do I know? I spent a lot of time going down there. Got a little sister and niece and nephew and brother-in-law down there, and we go down there with regularity. And, I mean, I'm sitting on my desk right now. Sitting on my desk right now is the envelope that I had to pay some of the tolls. Because the first time it happened to me, I was, like, panicked because I was looking. Because you pay a lot of money. You drive down. If you drive down from, like, Orlando the whole way to Miami and you use Turnpike and everything, it's like 20-something bucks one way. I mean, you could go on 95, but who wants to do that? So I end up paying all the tolls. But you get down to the Miami area, and you get to some of the ones where you'll see it says Sun Pass for those lanes. And I'm like, I don't have a Sun Pass. What do I do? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have no choice to do it the right way. And I didn't realize for the longest time that they were taking a picture of the license plate. It wasn't like I was in trouble. It was their normal tolling. It says express toll lanes with discounts for high occupancy vehicles as well in Atlanta. You know, I like the idea of using monetary motivations to try to improve things on traffic. My worry is, you know, just the tolling of the bridge phases me not. Like, I expected that. Number one, the officials have been telling us for a long time. If you've been listening to this discussion, I mean, I was looking through my emails and did the old Outlook Express search this morning for it. And these conversations were back in 2013, because I am a email pack rat. And they were already saying there'd be a toll. But I, in my fault, I guess, assumed that that meant the toll was specific for the bridge. In other words, you're coming eastbound on I-10. You get there by Virginia Street where the spur would be, and you'd make a choice. You know, hey, I want to save a little time. I'm going to take the bridge. I'll pay the toll. Or, heck, I don't have enough money. You know, I have more time than money, so I'll take the tunnel. But it looks like now from this discussion that it will apply to both. You would still be able to get off and take the Bankhead. Although, like David said, I've heard those same discussions as well, that the Bankhead may, and nothing's confirmed, but this at least been discussed, be shut down for vehicular traffic and maybe used for pedestrian and bicycle and things like that. And if that happened, you would have to, you could use the interstate system, but you'd have to go get off I-10 onto 65, go up and get the connector, come down, take the Cochran Bridge, and then get on the causeway. Again, I think this is one of the things we just gotta talk about. All right. y'all, the number of people on the text line, I like y'all. I like it. Figuring out ways around it. Just slap a tag applied for tag on where they are, where they're going to mail the bill then. Gosh, I don't know. This is great. Hopefully this is, I'm looking at the screen here and we can, running short on time, but hopefully get a few questions answered here because I'm just looking at this. And I think, is this Allison Gregg?
Hi, Allison Gregg and Matt Erickson from Aldot are here on the call.
Hey, great. Great to have you on. So we got about 5 minutes here, so I want to just a lot of questions here coming off of a discussion this morning about the tolling. Can you tell us what is it going to be?
Sure. So we actually are studying a toll rate between $3 to $6, and that's for use of the entire alignment, and that includes the future Mobile River Bridge, Wallace Tunnel, and the Bayway. And when we say the full alignment, that means that's the rate that you could pay if you use the entire thing from start to finish. We will also have segmented tolling. So if you only use part of the Bayway, like if you get on the Bayway at Eastern Shore and then get off at Mid Bay, you're actually only going to pay for the section of the road that you use. And we're also using all electronic tolling on this project. So a lot of the confusion that I think that people have is that, oh, I'm going to have to stop at a toll booth. It's like, actually, we're going to use all electronic tolling to make sure that there is no stopping.
Okay, so will it be, and that's one of the early questions, because I guess, you know, watching this over the years here, it's been pretty open that there would be tolling. I think a lot of us assume that that would apply to the bridge and not the Wallace Tunnel, but it sounds like from what I'm reading here, it applies to the tunnel as well. I mean, if you go I-10, you're paying the toll.
That's correct. So the Wallace Tunnel will be kind of converted to an I-10 business. And if you didn't toll Wallace Tunnel, you would have a lot of leakage and you wouldn't have a feasible project because people would be diverting off of the interstate going through Wallace Tunnel, and we would pretty much have the same situation that we have now. And it just would not make for a feasible project.
Okay, so if somebody, just to put this in a language guy can I can understand, if I'm going to go, unless I'm going to take the Cochran Bridge or the Bankhead Tunnel, if I'm going from Mobile to Baldwin County or Baldwin County to Mobile, I'm going to pay toll.
There is going to be a free route, including the causeway. So the causeway will not be tolled. So the free route that Aldot is committed to is Cochran Africa Town Bridge, Bankhead Tunnel, and the causeway.
Okay, so so you can still take that, but if you are going to be on I-10, there will be a toll. Now, you said the range between $3 and $6. Is that to be determined, or is that because what you were saying about partial alignment, full alignment, Allison?
That is to be determined.
Who is in charge of collecting the toll? What do y'all? I mean, will it be be the job of Aldot? Will it be the private capital people? Who does that?
Yeah, so that'll be the private concessionaire. So we're shifting the risk to them. They implement the toll facility and handle the collection. Obviously, Aldot will be working closely with them.
Will there be a set amount, like when they, you know, here you agree that they spent this much, this is what has to be recouped, and they reach that, and the toll goes away? Do you have any idea of kind of parameters how that would work?
Yeah, so we're entering into a long-term concession, which will last for 55 years. So that includes a five-year construction project. You know, this project has a cost estimate of $2 billion, and Aldot's annual budget is approximately 1.2. So this is over twice our annual, or around twice our annual budget. So it'll be the concessionaire's responsibility, and they will be here for 50 years. And after that 50-year term, the project will get turned back over to Aldot, and that decision will be made way in the future.
Yeah, that'll be my kid's problem, not mine. All right, I hate this because we're at the bottom of the hour or top of the hour news. I got to wrap the show for today, but if y'all hold on 1 second, I'm going to go to the news. If you can go to hold, I'll come to you off air, if that's okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much. All right, we got to get stepping here because Mike Gallagher's show is on the way next. Be back today for Midday Mobile starting at noon. Remember, check us out online, fmtalk1065.com, where you get podcasts of the 40-some-odd hours a week of live vocal programming we do. So check us out there and online, fmtalk1065.com.